Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 says this, Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Very strong and sober words from the book of Hebrews. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, today we want to talk very soberly and very seriously about how to affair-proof your marriage. And I have sitting across from me my wife, Debbie, and we're going to talk about this important subject together because it takes two to make a marriage work. Actually, it takes three. It takes the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. But the husband and the wife have to be seeking the Lord and seeking for a good marriage so that they can fulfill Hebrews 13:4 and let the marriage bed be undefiled, and they can have a marriage that God will bless and that God will fill with good things.
So, well, I know that we recently have just had this conversation that we are seeing more and more marriages that are succumbing and falling due to infidelity and due to affairs. And we've seen just the devastation that it has caused in individual lives and then just in the witness that people have. And so, Jeff, what would you say is bringing about such an increase in that number? And it's unilateral across the board, those in church, those not in church. So it's not no longer is the statistic that, oh, if you're in church, a believer, you know, your statistic rate of divorce drops so dramatically lower. It's not that way any longer. So what would you say, especially within the last 2 or 3 years, let's just say COVID and to present, what would you say would be maybe at the root of us seeing such a dramatic increase in that?
So I think it's a combination of a couple of things. I think at the baseline, what we're seeing in America and why so many marriages are failing, and failing because of infidelity, we've lost our fear of God. And so that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of knowledge, to recognize that God is God and we're not God, and that God tells us what to do. We don't tell him what to do, and his word is true, and we have to reverence God and his word, his will and his ways. And we've gotten away from that. There's no fear of God before the eyes of the people in general. I mean, obviously, we have two people at the microphones that fear God. But as a society, we've gotten away from the fear of the Lord. And when you do that, everything starts to fall apart. And so I think that, number one. And number two is social media and the rise of the smartphone and the ability. I was talking to a lady just yesterday, and she was saying, I'm so glad that when I was younger, I didn't have access to any of that. She's more my age. And she said, you know, that wasn't a temptation. She said the secrets that people can keep on their phones with conversing with other,
just duplicitous lives.
Yes. And, have passwords, have separate accounts, have these secret Instagram or whatever Snapchat things going on. It just sets the stage for disaster in a marriage. And, adultery is playing with fire. Sexual immorality is playing with fire. The Bible talks about that in Proverbs chapter 6. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Obviously not. Can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? No. So is the man who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. And so it's playing with fire. You know, Samson is a guy who played with fire when it came to, sexuality. And, he was, as Chuck Swindoll says about Samson, he was a he-man with a she-weakness. And he's always getting in trouble because of women, and he played around with Delilah, and what ends up happening, he gets blinded and bound, and then he's grinding in a mill. It's a vivid picture of what happens when you give yourself over. You start playing games. You play fast and loose with boundaries that the Lord has set that says, don't go here. So don't get near the boundary when it comes to sexual immorality and adultery in marriage.
Well, I think, too, if we look back post-COVID, and we've talked about this before, even on this broadcast, it's like COVID and the isolation, the separation, the time that we had just kind of in our homes where we weren't really going out and about and we weren't really around people. For some marriages that strengthened their marriage, it was a wonderful time. For other people, it really brought to the surface underlying things that had been there even, but that they'd just been glossing over, putting a blanket over that elephant in the living room kind of thing. So for some marriages, it was a great time, a bonding time, a time where people grew closer together.
We liked it.
We loved it. Yeah. But for other people, it was very, very difficult to all of a sudden be forced into all this time together with another person that you were right. not necessarily best friends with.
Yeah, and you can spend too much time together. You know, it's
right.
good to have a break. That's why, you know, in a marriage, you need to have friends outside the marriage. Guys need other guys. Women need other women. What we don't need is guys to be friends with other women.
Or vice versa.
Right. Once you get married, all those opposite sex relationships change, and your best
they need to.
Yeah, they must, because your best friend cannot be a person of the opposite sex outside of your spouse. And so, yeah, things change, and you have to guard yourself. So here were some things, and Debbie and I shared this in a sermon. We called the sermon series Desperate Households, and this was so many years ago, 2006, when we shared.
Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day when I had a full head of hair.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
But we shared these six principles for a fair-proofing your marriage, and these were commitments that you need to make. And number one was make a commitment to God's standard of morality. So what is God's standard? Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So keep your marriage bed pure, and don't sully the marriage bed with lust that leads to all sorts of other things, and that culminates in an illicit affair that will destroy. You know, we deal with problems in marriage, but adultery is like throwing the atom bomb into your home. It can blow everything up, and it is something that some people can't get past. And so that's why Jesus has that as an exception clause to divorce, except in the cause of unfaithfulness. You don't get divorced, but that can be something that can make it very, very difficult to get past. So here's what the scripture says. I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. Psalm 119, verses 127 and 128. So we have to go into our relationship with the Lord saying, Lord, your word is true, and Lord, your ways are right. My ways are not right. Your ways are right. So I'm going to look to you and defer to you on anything that I have a conflict with, because God's word says X and I want to do Y, and what's going to govern? God's word's going to govern. And I lift my hands to your commandments, which I love, which means I surrender to your commandments, Lord, and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go your way, not my way.
Well, I was just reading this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it was talking about when you hear doctrine other than what Timothy was talking about in the passage, be really careful because it's foolishness. it's foolishness. And so I think we have to be so on guard with that, especially as believers, to make sure that we know what the Word says, so that when we hear things that are contrary to that, we know that that's foolishness. And that's going to lead us down a wrong path. It's going to get us into trouble. And he goes on to say in that chapter that we have to pursue righteousness. We have to pursue godliness. So it doesn't just by osmosis happen to us. It is an active, intentional thing that we have to do. And that particularly comes into play in terms of our marriages. We have to really, with intentionality, pursue to have a godly marriage and pursue the concepts in God's Word that talk about keeping the marriage bed being undefiled and all of those things. It doesn't just happen, because the moment you think, oh, that would never happen to me, Katie, bar the door,
right?
Because the enemy is at the door lurking.
Right.
He's ready to pounce. He's ready to lead you astray. And he can lead anyone astray. I don't care how godly you are. He can, if given the right set of circumstances, he can lead anyone down a wrong path. And so you have to be very diligent and very intentional in that pursuit of righteousness, of godliness, of love, of steadfastness, of all of those things that Timothy talked about, particularly in regards to your marriage relationship.
Well, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. A good friend of mine, Steve Brumbelow, told me years ago, I've never forgotten this. He said, Jeff, we all have feet of clay. Now, Steve's a pastor, he's been a pastor for a long time, but we all have feet of clay. And so from the Apostle Paul on down, we're all in this thing where we feel temptation. No one's immune to temptation. And so you got to, Adrian Rogers said he had a little plaque he had on his desk. It said, the man who doesn't want to fall down ought not walk in slippery places. So if you don't want to fall, then don't walk on ice, and don't put yourself in positions where I'm going to be tempted with this. And Debbie, I ran across this talking about submitting and committing yourself to God's standard of morality in the Word of God. This was a letter that was sent in to Dear Abby. And it says, Dear Abby, I have a problem and I need your advice. I am in love with two women and I know that I cannot marry both of them, and I don't know which to choose. Please do not give me any morality in your answer. I do not believe in it. Signed, Torn. She responded, Dear Torn, the only difference between humans and animals is morality. Write to a veterinarian.
Oh,
I thought that was...
That's pretty good.
That was touche.
Yeah. So
we submit to God's standard of morality, and we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. And is that going to be easy? No, it's never easy to go God's way. But it's kind of like Peter, when the Lord said, Peter, throw your nets out in the deep water for a catch. And he said, Lord, we've been fishing all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding, at your word, I will do it. And when you go God's way, then you experience the blessings of God's way. You go your own way and you're going to experience grief, because your way, my way, it leads off a cliff. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. God's way is the way that leads to love and joy and peace.
Well, it goes back to the verse in Proverbs, you know, that we don't need to lean on our own understanding, because our understanding is feeble at best.
For sure. So the second thing that you do, so first thing, commit to God's standard of morality. Secondly, maintain your marriage. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. We need to keep adding fire, or adding wood to the fire of the marriage relationship.
Stoking the flame.
Yes. And so, you know, good marriages just don't happen. Good families just don't happen. You got to keep adding the wood to the fire. You got to keep doing the things that you did when you dated to keep the relationship going and red hot in love with one another. You got to keep doing those things. And so many people quit dating after they get married. And you're looking at me funny.
I'm just smiling because you look so cute.
So you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm joined by my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about how to affair-proof your marriage. So many marriages are being destroyed by sexual immorality. That's not what God wants for husbands and wives. It's not what God wants for the family. And so he has given us safeguards in his word. And if we'll put those into practice, we'll enjoy a great marriage, a great family, and God's blessings upon us. We're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
The Larsons learned that a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You just can't outgive God, and he just keeps pouring back into us.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit engagemagazine.net.
Jesus was a masterful teacher. He was a magnificent storyteller, and he spoke in terms anyone could understand about issues that confront us all. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares what Jesus taught in his timeless Sermon on the Mount about prayer, money, our needs, and our eternal destiny. Join us for the series 18 Minutes with Jesus on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm joined by my wife, Debbie. We're talking about how to affair-proof your marriage. And before we get into the material for this segment, we have a couple of things to announce.
Yeah, the first one that I wanted to mention, because I feel passionately about this, is early voter register. Early voting. That
yes.
started on Monday, and so you need to...
In Texas.
I don't know if it did in Texas. You need to get out there, and you need to be prepared for that, and you need to be educated when you go into that booth to vote. And there is a great free resource that is available, and it's called iVoterGuide.com. And if you go to that website, you can put in your zip code, and your ballot, the people that are on your ballot to vote for, will come up. You will immediately see to the right... a kind of gauge that lets you know, do they lean towards liberalism? Do they lean towards conservative? And then there's also a little area that you can double click on that says more, and you can find out more about that candidate. And so it's a wonderful resource to make sure that you're making an educated choice when you go to cast your vote. And it is not only your privilege, but it's your responsibility to get out there and do that. And so we just want to encourage people to get out there and vote.
And Dr. Chris Schroeder and I did a program on Monday, and we talked about how to vote. How should a Christian vote? And we talked about the things that are important as it relates to the vote. And Christians desperately need to vote and to vote for a biblical values, and that makes the difference. So you can always go back and listen to a program, any of the talk radio programs on AFR.net. Well, the other announcement is it is Operation Christmas Child time again. The Samaritan's Purse has the shoebox ministry, where we pack a shoebox and those get sent out all over the world. And this year, they look to send out their 200 millionth gift-filled shoebox. So
wow.
It's an exciting milestone. This ministry started Franklin Graham back in 1993, and I'd shared with the listeners, Debbie, how we have one Sunday school class at our church, the Golden Circle class, that's going to do 13,000, or it has done 13,000 this year, and
right.
They just keep increasing year after year, and it is amazing.
Amazing.
And that you can find out more, Samaritan OCC for Operation Christmas.
You know,
Child.
They even have those boxes in Hobby Lobbies.
Oh, they do?
Yes, they do.
Well, good.
I know, because I'm in Hobby Lobby way more than I need to be, but they do have them there.
Amen. Okay, so back to affair proofing your marriage, how to do it. So we talked about you make a commitment to God's standard of morality and say, Lord, I'm going to go your way, not my way, for this is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 4, this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. Fornication is marriage, is sex when you're not married. And adultery is sex outside of the marriage relationship. So both of those, for fornicators and adulterers, God will judge, Hebrews 13, verse 4. So we make a commitment to God's standard of morality, and then we maintain our own marriage. So as we said at the break, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. We need to keep putting wood on the fire of our own marriage. And so, Debbie, one of the points that we shared so many years ago with our church was you have to maintain emotional intimacy in your marriage. And so what does that mean to you?
Well, emotional intimacy is probably more important to a woman than it is a man. Not that men don't need emotional intimacy, because they do, but a woman craves that. And so for a woman to be physically responsive in marriage, she has to have those emotional needs met. And that usually involves spending time together, talking, listening, sharing, being best friends, enjoying life together, all of those things, and the non-physical touch type things
right.
that can fill a woman's love tank. And depending upon what her love language is, maybe it's acts of service that you're doing for her, or, you know, some gifts or those kind of things. But it really, to me, more than anything, comes down to communication, that you're just really communicating well with each other, and that emotionally you feel connected to one another. And that's critically important.
Well, and guys need to remember this. So what you did to win your wife when you dated her, all the sweet things that you did, the thoughtful things, the cards, the flowers, the candy, the special dates, you got to keep doing that.
Well, and I think, too, when you're living life and you're just busy, it's not necessarily that you have no desire to do those things. They just kind of get put on a back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to kind of be gently nudged and reminded that you need to do those things. And I know that periodically we've had to do that with each other, in terms of I've had to tell you, hey, listen, I'm just not feeling very cherished right now. Mm-hmm. And there are times when you're under a lot of stress and it's like, okay, hey, I'm giving you grace during that time because I know that you're swamped and you're emotionally spent with just the other parts of life that you're dealing with. But you can't live like that over the long haul. There have to be those times where you have time to get back connected.
Well, when I was in the chemical business, I had probably about 50 accounts, and some accounts were small and some accounts were large. And I remember teaching in Sunday school, and I said, "Hey guys, you have to treat your wife is your biggest account." So if I had my biggest account was Texas A&M University,
whoop.
And so if they called and they had a problem, I had to be Johnny on the spot, because the last thing in the world I wanted them to do was say, "Hey, we're going to go out for bid and look for somebody else to take care of our water treatment needs." So I wanted to make sure that they were treated well and very well responded to when they had an issue. Well, your spouse is your biggest account. And so when your spouse is upset, you have to pay attention. What are you upset about? What happened? Maybe there was just a misunderstanding. We have a lot invested in this, and this is for the long haul. I made a vow to you that I would be faithful to you until death do we part. And so you have to remind yourself of the vow and say, "Hey, you know, my job as a husband is to make sure my wife feels nourished and cherished and loved," because that's what the scripture says in Ephesians 5. And Debbie's job description as a wife is let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. So if I'm not feeling very respected, she has to call upon the Lord to help her do that. And we need
to open my eyes to where it is that I'm getting off track and being disrespectful, that I may not even know that I'm being disrespectful.
Right.
So a woman needs that emotional maintenance in the marriage, but the man needs that physical maintenance in the marriage and that physical type intimacy. Why don't you talk about that for a second, Jeff?
Well, this is so true. James Dobson said this, I've never forgotten it. A man uses intimacy to get sex, and a woman uses sex to get intimacy. Not that men don't like intimacy, but we get a little nervous about intimacy, but we really like sex. We like the physical,
right.
Coming together. And so that's a very important part of marriage, and to be able to talk openly about that. It's amazing, Debbie, as we did the Family Life conferences, when it came to the sex talk, most couples they're not able to talk about that openly and freely. And it's just one of those things. We don't talk about it in church. In a Baptist church, if you mention the word sex from the pulpit, everybody gets nervous, think it might lead to dancing.
Right.
And so it's just one of those taboo subjects, even in the marriage. And we have to be able to talk about that. I think it was Howard Hendricks that said, we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about what God was not ashamed to create. And God created sex for procreation, obviously, but also for pleasure. And he wants that to be something to be enjoyed by a husband and by a wife.
Well, I think, too, it's just so cool the way God designed us, because women, like I said earlier, lean more towards the emotional intimacy. Men lead more towards the physical intimacy. And together, we bring balance to each other. You know, if it was just a world full of men, right. It would just be a mess. If it was a world full of women, it would just be a mess. It would just be, emotions all over the place. But together, we form a unit of one, and it's a balanced unit of one. And that's just kind of cool.
We're a lot stronger together. Well, so we do that. We maintain our marriage. We add wood to the fire. And then we minimize temptations. Temptations are out there. And so we have to minimize the temptations that we experience. And so the scripture says in Matthew, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So just as my friend Steve Brumbelow said, we all have feet of clay. That's just another way of saying the flesh is weak. And so you don't have strong flesh. I don't have strong flesh. We don't have, as a as a people. We don't have strong flesh. You can have a willing spirit, but the flesh is weak. So you have to make sure you're not in the flesh, because the flesh will take you down. So here are some very practical guidelines. No flirting.
Big.
You don't flirt with the opposite sex. And you say, well, it's just minor. It's just, just all in good fun. We had a friend early in our marriage in our Sunday school class that used to tease with another wife in the class. And he would say, you know, it's going to happen between you and me. And I was shocked when I heard him say that. It's like, hey, that's not funny. And that's totally inappropriate.
And they are divorced now.
Yeah, they got divorced. Yeah. The guy that did that stuff. Hey, no flirting, because the scripture says this, Ephesians 5:3. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Not even a hint of that. So don't mess around with that. Don't flirt with the opposite sex. Be very careful with even complimenting another woman about how she looks, because you don't know how starved she may be for a compliment. And you do that, and she's going to start like a magnet coming toward you.
Well, I think you just have to be really sensitive to that and ask the Holy Spirit to really cause you to be extra sensitive in that area, particularly if you have an outgoing personality that's just gregarious and fun and all of that. You have to be particularly careful like that, because it can be misinterpreted. Right. And so you just have to really ask the Holy Spirit to make you hypersensitive to that, so that he pricks your spirit the moment you start to do something that could be even perceived by someone else to be improper. And he'll be faithful to do that if you ask him to do that. Then the next thing, besides not flirting, is don't be confiding in any one of the opposite sex. Big mistake. Why? Because as we talked about with that emotional intimacy, it leads to emotional intimacy when you confide in someone else. That's just the nature of it. And so you need to, your primary person that you confide in, first of all, is the Lord. You take things to the Lord first. Second in line, then to a same-sex friend to give you wise and godly counsel. But you don't go sharing intimate parts of your marriage with someone else of the opposite sex.
Well, and setting up safeguards. So here's what Proverbs 7 says. So Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, and Proverbs 6, too, talks about adultery and talks about the adulterous woman and the guy that gets sucked in to adultery. And it says, "For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house." Okay, he knows where this woman lives, and he knows this is going to lead to bad things, but I'm just going to pass by and just take a look. There's nothing wrong with looking. Hey, once you start moving in that direction, so you start moving in the direction of flirting, you start moving in the direction of details about your life and about your marriage and about how your marriage is unsatisfying, you're crossing a line, and you're really playing with fire. And if you play with fire, you're going to get burned, because we all have feet of clay, and the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So don't feed the flesh. Don't give in to that. Just like with, you know, so many guys struggling with pornography on the internet.
Women now as well.
Women too. But you just have to know, hey, if I click on this and you know, swimsuit models or whatever it might be, I click on this, this leads to that, leads to the other, leads to the pigsty. And so I have to make sure early on, because you can stop a temptation early on. It's harder to stop it when you're sliding down the hill and you're picking up steam. So,
well, and that goes back to just the first point, and that it all really hinges on that commitment to obeying the Lord. the commitment to do that, you know, because it's very clear that the Lord tells us, he promises us that when we are tempted, because he knows we're going to be, he provides a way of escape for us. Mm-hmm. But we have to be aware and we have to be willing to yield our will to his will to go ahead and escape.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about how to affair-proof your marriage. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Maybe you have a word of wisdom that you'd like to share, or maybe you have a testimony that says, hey, I didn't do this, and it ended in adultery and it ended in divorce, but this is what God has taught me through that. Hey, we want to learn and we want to grow, and failure is not final if we turn our lives to the Lord and seek him. So thank you for listening. Real Truth for Today. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Does the changing of the seasons have you thinking about the future? If you're feeling like you can't contribute as you have in the past, maybe we can offer some help. There are many ways to make an end-of-the-year charitable gift. A cash donation comes with the advantage of a tax deduction. Transferring appreciated stock can allow you to avoid capital gains taxes. You could leave a gift through a will or trust by naming AFA as a beneficiary. And a charitable gift annuity provides a deduction for today as well as guaranteed income for life. Let us show you how to maximize your year-end giving for yourself and for AFA. Visit AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345. If the economy has you worried about what the future may bring, giving through the AFA Foundation could help. Again, that's AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about a very sensitive subject, and that's the subject of how to affair-proof your marriage. We know that lots of people have experienced the tremendous pain of adultery that brings into a marriage and can destroy a marriage. But we also know that there are a lot of testimonies of people who have overcome by God's grace those things. and they have responded to the Lord, and now they have a better marriage than ever, and things have been forgiven, and God forgives, and we can forgive. The Bible says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven us.
You know, it's interesting that you started out with that, because we hadn't even really talked about that, but I had just written down in my notes, how do you trust again? What are some steps for that? So, Jeff, why don't you respond to that for the person that's listening that has been a victim of maybe someone having an affair on them, or maybe they themselves are the one that have had an affair. How do you go about forgiveness? How do you practically walk that out? How do you get trust back? Because we've talked about before, you lose trust by the buckets, you gain it back by the thimbleful. And so speak to that issue.
Well, I think that if that were to happen in our relationship, so I put myself in the shoes of the person. Anytime I'm counseling, I say, hey, okay, if I'm you, this is hard for me. So this isn't an easy, you know, take two scriptures and call me in the morning. Those things are very, very difficult. And the betrayal is huge. So I think you have to look soberly at, okay, why did my spouse do this? You know, it takes two to tango. And so if my spouse is extremely happy in our marriage, is she going to be susceptible? I mean, everybody's susceptible, but is that probably going to happen? Probably not.
Small chance.
Right. So I have to look. I remember asking a guy one time, our friend Gary Sills, I asked him about that, and I said, what would you do if your wife had an affair? He said, I would immediately say, what did I do to contribute to that? What was I not giving her that she needed to find somewhere else? And so I thought that was an interesting answer. I think that is important to do some self-reflection. And then, but you know, you can be married to somebody who is very duplicitous and has a separate life. Lots of guys that are on the road with, you know, traveling sales people can be like that, where they're one way at home and they're a different way on the road. And so you can have that situation. I think that, you look at it honestly and say, okay, is this salvageable? Is this person repentant? Does this person who has committed adultery, do they want to make this work? Or, you know, and are they willing to change? Is there genuine repentance, or is there just regret?
And godly sorrow.
Right. So if there aren't those things, you just can't have a marriage with somebody that refuses to quit dating other people. And so there has to be, hey, I'm cutting this off. And you know, consistent behavior over time yields trust. But you have to forgive from your heart. That doesn't mean that the marriage is going to be saved, but it means you're not holding that against the other person. Because the thing is about bitterness, the Lord is very, very strong on forgiving people who hurt us. Why? Because he loves us, and he knows that if we harbor unforgiveness in our heart, if we harbor bitterness, the bitterness is not going to hurt that other person. It's going to hurt us. It's a cancer of the soul that will destroy everything in our lives.
Well, I think it's important to remember, just like you mentioned, that it takes two people to make a marriage work. And so if you are in a situation where you are so desiring the marriage to work, you're wanting, seeking out counseling, you're wanting to do the steps that you need to do to bring some reconciliation, but your partner is not willing to participate in that, your hands are kind of tied. They've left you nothing to work with. So you can pray and ask the Lord to change their heart, but there comes a time when you have to put some boundaries in place. Healthy boundaries for yourself to protect yourself, to protect yourself emotionally. You know, we just see in the counseling room, we see what this divorce situation brings, and it brings such devastation into a life. And you look at that and you think, oh, this is why God hates this so much, because it is just so brutally painful. Mm-hmm. But it does take two people to make a marriage. And I just was thinking about that. It's like, okay, you know, how do you recover? How do you bounce back? How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord when you're the one that's desiring it to work? You're seeking counsel. You're doing all that you know to do. And your spouse is not reciprocating in that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's extremely difficult. And mm-hmm. so then it just becomes a conversation with the Lord. Lord, what do I do here?
Right.
Do I keep working on this, or is this just, and am I drilling a dry hole? You know, do I keep drilling? There's no oil here. And some people, you know, I never counsel anybody to get divorced, but I would counsel somebody to say, you need to seriously pray about, do you keep going
right.
in this situation? Because your spouse is not responsive to this at all. And we are taking your calls, 888-589-8840. You may have a question about adultery as it relates to the marriage relationship, or a testimony that God brought healing in your heart, in your life, in your marriage. And it is wonderful to read stories and to hear stories, real life stories of there was infidelity on our marriage and God brought us through a deep, dark valley. As I told one couple, listen, you think about it this way. You didn't get here overnight. You're not going to get fixed overnight. It's going to take time. It's like walking to California. We're in Texarkana, Texas. A walk to California is a long walk. But I said, if you will keep going west every single day, hey, we're moving in this direction. Some days you may only move forward 6 inches, but you just keep pressing forward, going west. One day, if you do it day after day after day, you end up in California. And you're like, hey, as one man told me who had a lot of work to do in his relationship with his wife, he had hurt her deeply. He told me one day, he said, hey, we're doing a lot better. We're not in California, but I think I can see Arizona, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or El Paso or whatever he said. You know, he's like, we've gone a lot further west than I thought we could, and we're continuing to move west.
And I think the key to that, Jeff, which so many people don't recognize the significance of, it's the Lord that does that. It's both people being focused on the Lord and being obedient to the Lord, being surrendered to the Lord, and acting and doing those things that the Lord leads them to do. Because in our flesh, we are not able to forgive. We're not able to mend and heal and just move on. We can put white sheets over elephants in our flesh, absolutely. But it's that triangle of when both spouses are seeking the Lord and wanting and growing closer to Him, they are at the same time growing closer to each other. And God can work miracles. I mean, we have seen that in the counseling room, where we have seen Him take a marriage that seemed deader than Lazarus. I mean, more than 3 days in the tomb dead, you know, right? We've seen Him resurrect those marriages and make them stronger and better than before. Nothing is impossible for the Lord to do. Nothing. Especially in that kind of marriage relationship, because He desires people to stay together. He desires them to have oneness and intimacy in their marriage. And so they have to be seeking after the Lord, both parties.
Well, and we talk about, you know, in forgiveness, you forgive, and we have this phrase, well, we forgive and forget, God forgives and forgets. God forgets it against you. God doesn't forget that ever happened. You know, the Lord says about David, he followed me fully except in the case of Uriah. That was God's summation of David's life. So, well, did God forget that David sinned with Bathsheba? David and Bathsheba were both complicit, and they sinned, and then David had Uriah killed. No, God remembered what happened, but He didn't hold it against David. And so, Debbie, you've said before in conferences that we've done, you know, forgive and forget. Well, you're not going to be able to forget that ever happened, but you can forget it against the person, which means you don't bring it up again. We're not, hey, that has been forgiven. That's been dealt with. I, you know, as the Lord says in his word, their sins will I remember against them no more. Will I remember no more from the standpoint, remember against them no more. And that's what we have to do in marriage. We can't hold those things against our partner for the rest of his life or her life, because that's not real forgiveness.
No, and I think, you know, we don't forget, because so often that's God's way of protecting us and keeping us safe from something like that happening again to us. Like if you put your hand on the burner on the stove, you learn pretty quick, okay, hey, I don't want to ever do that again. So when you look back at the stove and it's red hot, you think, I remember when I put my hand on there and I burned it. So it's not, like you said, it's not that you forget, but it's that you've gained wisdom from that. And as a result of that, you make better decisions and you make wiser choices, and you do just keep your focus on the Lord, and you put him first more than anything, and more than your own emotions, your own wills, your own desires. You put the Lord first. And when both parties are doing that, it's amazing what God can do, how he can transform a relationship.
Well, the Lord's the healer, and he can do anything if we'll just trust him. And he can heal a broken heart. Mm-hmm. And he can remind the person that's been sinned against, hey, you have sinned against me, you know, God says, and much greater than any person has ever wronged you. So if I can forgive you, I'll give you the ability to forgive them. Well, we have Sally on the line from Kansas. Sally, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
As I've been listening to you talk, I have had an affair in my first marriage, and I guess I just wanted to call in maybe as an encouragement to other people that have dealt with this situation. And because 5 years into my marriage, I had a dear friend that I had been friends with for years, felt like it was fully platonic, and, you know, so it felt safe. Felt like I could talk to him, and my husband did not connect with me emotionally. He had felt zero need to do that. He told me that I was just, you know, wanting life to be a romantic comedy, and that this is just how marriage was. And we were in our late 20s, and I kept thinking, this is what I have to look forward for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But not looking for anything else, this friendship with this other guy started with that harmless flirting, and then went in and got a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more attached. And when he told me he had a big life change happening, that was a big deal. He told me how he felt about me, and it pulled on my heartstrings. And before I knew it, I was emotionally attached. We lived many, 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 many miles away from each other. But when I would go home to visit, I would see him, and eventually we became physically attached. And I later found out, as I confessed things to my first husband, that he'd been wrapped up in pornography our entire marriage. I had found things, but he was able to explain it away, and I fully believed him. But I realized much later that really left a big. A, he didn't need to attend to my needs because he was fulfilling his own. But he also, because he wasn't protecting our marriage, it helped leave me vulnerable. Not that what I did is, I'm not making excuses right for myself at all whatsoever. But I saw how many issues that marriage had. And then he wanted it to be fixed so quickly. He thought once I ended the affair, it would just be, everything would go back to normal. And it certainly didn't. And it didn't take long for him to just say, I want out, I want to leave. And as I've gotten remarried, you talked about putting your hand on the stove. I work with a lot of guys and late nights. And I have really made sure anytime I've seen a hot stove to stay far away from it. Mm-hmm.
That's a good word, Sally.
It really woke me up. But I also went through 2 years of counseling and delving deep in the Lord and wondering about reconciliation, and really dug in with the Lord to try to make sure, because I never want to be that person again.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, and I appreciate the fact that you did the hard work. So 2 years of counseling is not easy to do, and really digging into, your own junk. But that's how the Lord can bring healing. So thank you, Sally, for calling in. Thank you for sharing that. And hey, listen, God is the God of hope. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you are in life, if you will turn to the Lord completely and fully, God can do a deep work of healing, of restoration, and of giving you a time of refreshing from Him. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.